In a world where achievements and accolades motivate us to do more and be more, we're often left wondering, is this really it?
Deep inside, you know there is more to life. You're ready to leave behind the old, push your way through, and claim the deeper life that's calling you.
That's where we excel.
We're your hosts, Stephanie Allen
and Marin Oslak.
And this is the Soulful Leader Podcast.
Sit back and relax as we share the shortcuts we've uncovered to help you make shift happen. Welcome back to the Soulful Leader Podcast. I'm Marin and I'm here with Stephanie. Last week, we ended the podcast with talking about putting our past in front of us and living that way, or living from our future self. And I kind of left it there because I really wanted to dedicate a full podcast to this, and it will probably be multiple podcasts, because really it's where we're going as a culture, as a society. I'm hoping it's where we're going as a culture and as a society, because it's where we have to go. If we're going to survive on this planet as human beings, we really need to stop putting our past in front of us and reliving the old story. And when we, even when we set our goals and we decide where we're going, what we don't realize is we're actually deciding that from a past story. And an example from my own life of that is that, say, for example, you all know at this point that I own a ballroom dance studio. And when I set my goals for my ballroom dance studio, it's based on who I was and the person who created the studio. One of the things that I have been playing with over this last year is, what would it look like to set those goals in conjunction with spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, life, from my future, from an ever-evolving future that is calling me and pulling me? Because science is actually proving that the future creates the past. I know that sounds very strange. It does.
So hold that thought for a moment.
I will. Go for it.
I want to slow you down here for a second.
Okay.
You're on a great roll. I love this. But there's a question that's going through my mind too. It's like, why is it important? Because I think it's a real key. It's like, because we're so conditioned to just, when we say goal setting, or we look back to what we haven't gotten in our past, which kind of leads that void, or what we have got that we go, I don't like that. And so we then set our intention for the future based on the past. So my question is looking at, like, why is it important that we change that? Because there's a lot of good nuggets there. It's like, well, you know, I was with this person and I didn't like being with that person. And this is the reason why I didn't like it. I didn't like the qualities and I didn't like who I was in that relationship. So now I've got some insight about how I want to be different for my future. So it gives me goal setting, but I hear what you're saying in that way of, like, we are so conditioned by that way that we don't know another way. And so why does that matter? Why is it important that we change, especially right now, Marin?
Well, let's look at the pandemic. It came, what we think of as, out of nowhere. And yet, if you go back, the guy who started Microsoft, what's his name?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. Yeah. Thank you. Bill Gates did a talk in 2015 about pandemics and how that's the next wave coming in and how we could avoid it. And when we look at it from that perspective, he was very much visioning where the incoming future versus, that's not based on the past. That hadn't happened in how many years since the, you know, 1900s, or it didn't seem like this was going to be the next thing that was coming. So when we look at that, the issues or the challenges that our current society is coming up against, we don't have answers in our past. We could potentially get help and solutions and some things that will be Band-Aid fixes for the current and maybe into the near future. And the real solutions are coming from in front of us, from the future, because the problems are things that we haven't experienced before. And if we take, you and I have used an example of an iceberg before, right? And so if we look at the surface of the iceberg, that's kind of like what we know of our problems, right? And so that's the stuff that we can see from the past. We look back at it, we go, okay, that's the surface. I got it. And now I can solve my problems from there. And yet there's this entire iceberg that's happening underneath. And we have no idea what that means or what's coming. And so we do, you mentioned last week on the podcast that we need to change the way our brain is wired. And right now, as a society, we are wired to look to our past for solutions.
Which is limited, by the way, people. Like if you're looking back to the past, it's limited. It's like driving in your car, looking at the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
That's it. That's important if you're backing up or if you're trying to understand where the siren's coming from and if you need to pull over on the side of the road or not. But if you are constantly looking in your rearview mirror for most of your life, you are going to run into your future. You're going to run into it and it's not going to be pleasant. It's going to hurt. It is. Yeah. Or you'll hurt somebody else. That's, you know, and I you know, it's so interesting. You're talking about this and I'm, you know, I'm such a lover of fantasy movies and Star Wars and things like that. Like I always love those beings that can see beyond what's here and now in the present. That, you know, my Yoda, I love Yoda. You know, because they let go of who they were yesterday. Like they it's like they've got amnesia. Like you forget about it because it's in the past, it's behind you. And so they're constantly presencing what's in front of them, what's coming towards them. And that is a real practice. That is like, we're talking about Zen. We're talking about so many different traditional and mystical practices that are thousands of years old. And I think of like, you know, the Salems and the witch hunt. It's like, These individuals that were killed as witches weren't witches. They were able to read the patterns coming from the future. And it scared those people who were around them that didn't know how to do that or were afraid of letting go of what they were used to. And that's kind of where we are right now. And I think we vilify people outside of us going, you know, how do we know that when someone says, hey, this is what's coming in the future, are they coming from their past and putting in the future? Or are they someone who have done some really good practices and have their heart open to say, wait a minute, I care more than just myself. I care about humanity because those are the ones we want to listen to. I care about more than just myself. I care about everyone here. And am I reading something that's coming from the future to be able to warn these people, to warn culture and to get creative enough to come up with a solution?
It does bring to mind like, you know, the people who, the charlatans, right? Who they've got their crystal ball and they'll gaze into their crystal ball for you. And they read tarot cards
but there's nothing wrong with that. It's fun.
To be fair, there are people who are truly in it and they are presencing the future. There are the charlatans that are not, right? And it can be fun, like you said. So when I think about that and I wonder, how do I know, A, for myself, if I'm presencing the past or if I'm actually being present to my incoming future, and or if somebody else is? Do you have a way that you can discern between those two?
I have heard, like, so here's something that helps me: fear. So I know in one of our other podcasts we've talked about fear as being the acronym for false evidence appearing real. I've also heard that fear is because you've stepped outside of your comfort zone, which means you've stepped outside of your traditional habitual self, which is actually a good thing. Yeah. So fear isn't always a bad thing. It just means that you are not in your comfort zone, which is actually a good thing. then you can ask yourself, you know, fear and danger are not the same. You know, to be afraid and then to be in danger are two totally different things.
Yeah.
So you have to ask yourself, am I in danger? No. Okay. Then you can say, okay, good. I must be outside of my historical self.
Right.
My past self.
I want to give an example of that. So for example, if I'm afraid of crossing the street and I'm standing on the sidewalk, I'm actually not in danger. I'm experiencing fear. If I'm standing in the middle of the street, I'm in danger, right?
In a busy street.
In a busy street.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that's not addressing the standing outside your comfort zone. It is addressing the difference between fear and danger, right?
That's right. And so it's something to look at. It's something to experience. It's something to explore, so to speak. It's like, if you don't know what's coming, good. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's actually a good place to be, because now you're open. And then to not choose danger or fear, mm-hmm. but to say, just to breathe and go, okay, what would life be like if instead you were not so much always rescuing and caretaking your past self that's behind you, but if you were connected to the already realized, beautiful, true self that you are, that's in your future. What if you had such a divine relationship with that being that you couldn't wait to actually like presence them and be with them? And, you know, we talk about intuition in, which is inside, right? Intuition, intuit. But it's even more than that.
It is more than that.
It's so much more than intuition. So for those who have gone to, you know, psychics and different things, there's nothing wrong with that. It's entertaining. But I always said to myself, I'm like, I want to be able to have that connection. I don't necessarily always want someone to tell me their version of what my connection is. I maybe that's my control freak. I don't know. But I think it's also my lover within me that goes, I want to have the direct line.
Yes.
It's like the old fashioned telephones, right? You used to have to go through an operator to get connected to somebody. And sometimes those operators were a little nosy and they were kind of like listening in on your conversation. I wanted the direct line. Like, I just want to have that direct line to my true self.
And that is our divine birthright. Like, every one of us has that direct line. So one of the things that came up as you were talking is an example of that direct line. And we've all had the example. And I think for myself, I know I've dismissed them in the past. And one of the things that one of my practices over the last 20 years has been developing that direct line for myself. So I know when I was in college, I was supposed to go on this hike, and we were going to, it was our graduation present to ourselves, and there were seven of us going, and we were going to hike the John Muir Trail from like Southern California all the way up into Oregon. And it was a month-long trip, and we were prepping. And there was a part of me that started getting more and more anxious. And then, you know, it's like, oh, you're just nervous because you're scared. You've never done anything like this, of what you were talking about before, of, you know, fear, false evidence appearing real. And so I kept making myself keep packing and preparing and packing. And I started to get physically ill, and I ended up not going on the trip. And I never knew why I wasn't supposed to be there. Nothing tragic. You know, you've heard the stories of people who have done that and then like the airplane crashes or something, right? There was nothing tragic that happened. And I just know in my deepest being that I wasn't meant to be on that trip for some reason. And I honored it. I finally honored it. And at the first few days, there was so much shame around that. And so finding for myself, that I think that was probably the beginning of that discovery. And maybe that's why it happened, of the beginning of the discovery of how do I know the difference for myself between when I'm in fear over something from my past and or when I'm just being guided by my future. And that has been a 20, 30 plus year process of getting to know myself. And that's, for me, what it really takes is the inquiry of getting to know myself and who am I and who is my future and where am I going, and continually asking those questions.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. And asking continual questions to your future self. You know, we talked about that earlier on empowering questions. You know, it's like asking a question. It's like, okay, future self, show me. Mm-hmm. Show me in a way that I know it's you. Show me in a way that's so obvious. I often say this. It's like, I'll say, I need guidance or I need help on what to do. Should I stay or should I go? Kind of like, you know, Talking Heads song. But it's like, you know, and I'll ask my future self, please show me in a way. And I always say this, show me in a way that I know it's you, and come in a way that is kind and obvious. Mm. So I don't miss it. But I always say kind because I've been my future self. Whacked. I haven't always. Head. Yeah, exactly. I haven't always haven't paid attention to my future self and have gotten a few flaps and bumps. And I'm like, I don't really want to do that anymore. I don't want to hurt myself or financially hurt myself or mentally hurt myself. I just don't want to do that anymore. So come in a way that I totally know it's you and that it's kind and beautiful. Sometimes I'll even say and beautiful.
So I know for myself, one of the things that I've done is I've started to track my future. And I think of it like a detective, you know, Sherlock Holmes, where they're tracking the evidence that shows up. And it's been really helpful for me to know when something is a fear from my past or it's not right for me. It's right. It's right for somebody at some point in time. Or maybe it's right for me. It's not just not right for me right now. And when it's not mine at all, you know. So as I become more aware of the incoming future, I'm going to go back to another story from... it was in 2013. I got a random email that was soliciting me to come to this workshop in Bali. And I was like, huh, because random emails, they tend to, you know, not be always the most above board of things. When I looked into it, it was actually from a teacher that I just had never gotten any emails from him that I currently, you know, follow. That had been I had been introduced to him prior in my life. So in 2012, I had been introduced to Roger James Hamilton, and then I had gotten this random email, but it didn't say it was from him right away. It just said that there were X number of spots at this discounted price for this workshop, and I was like, right, that's not true. And then as I looked into it, I was like, oh, it is true. And I was just tugged. There was something in me that tugged that said, follow this, read this email. It's not spam. It's not junk. It's not somebody. And I did follow it. And as I said, he's still one of my instructors, one of my mentors and teachers. And that's one of those examples for me of in the past, I would have disregarded that and just let it go and been like, oh, that's someone trying to scam me. And there's lots of that out there. We mentioned charlatans earlier, right? How do I know the difference? And that is an inquiry of getting to know myself. And because when I was in college, I had started that questioning of, huh, I want that direct line. I want to know when I should listen to it rather than, like you said, getting myself, you know, like I got myself in college to the point where I was getting physically ill because spirit didn't want me there. Life said, no, that's not the right time and place for you. Okay. But I couldn't listen. I wasn't that tuned in at that time. So spirit had to like go to extremes and get me ill. Okay, great. I learned that. And I decided I didn't want to do, like you said, I don't need that anymore. So I had spent many, many years developing that internal voice, that internal connection to life, to spirit, to the incoming. And so when that showed up in 2013, literally 2 weeks later, I was on a plane to Bali. And as I said, you know, however many years later, I'm still working with Roger James Hamilton and I value him very much. Coming full circle back to like, do you have a practice, Stephanie? Because I know you're on this same journey with me, and I know that because of our many conversations. What is your practice? Do you have a practice that you use where it helps you to deepen that conversation with the incoming future?
Oh, it's such a, that's a good question. I do, and I want to do it more. I will be honest and very transparent. I still struggle with, oh, I don't have enough time. I don't have, you know, and so I will also, I'll negotiate with myself and I'll say, okay, well, how much time do we have? Let's do 10 minutes. Okay, let's do 10 minutes. For me, what works for me, which helps to negate that lower voice of like, yeah, I don't have enough time, which is all from my past, by the way, is that I find that if I give myself 10 minutes frequently throughout the day, so not just 10 minutes once, I might give myself 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at lunch, 10 minutes in the afternoon, 10 minutes at supper time. And next thing you know, I've done almost an hour of practice throughout my entire day. I find that helps me a lot more. And my practice is literally just sitting, breathing, and letting go. Like just literally breathing and letting go. And asking that question, like I said earlier, you know, okay, this is where I'm needing help or support, come in a way that surprises and delights me. And, you know, in a way that I know that it's me, I know that it's my future self, and it is kind and it's beautiful. You know, I'll say them differently in different ways. And then I just pay attention and I listen. So, you know, we're all stacked a little bit differently. And what I mean by that, I mean, some of us are visual, like we're visual learners or auditory learners or kinesthetic or digital. We all have these different stacking and we all have all of them in different ways. You know, we use all of them. But for me, I'm very kinesthetic and very auditory. So to be in the world helps me, but I need to have that first step of like tuning in first. So it's like, okay, so the universe knows what to bring me. Otherwise it's just going to throw all kinds of stuff. It's like throwing all kinds of stuff and seeing what's sticking. I don't want that. You know, I want to be more specific. And so I'll listen to my clients. I'll feel what's going on in the world. And that's how I measure what's going on. It's like a conversation with God is what's happening all day long. And I tell myself that, like, pay attention, listen, Stephanie, what's the universe telling you? Without trying to figure it out. And that's what I have to really practice. And that's what, you know, Marin and I are questing in this year for our, with one of our teachers, is to really let go of figuring things out.
Because allowing things out is the past.
It's the past. It's based on my old past.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah. Staying present and staying present, staying focused, staying open to know what's coming, incoming.
And then I know as an auditory, you tend to be, you process the world very auditorily, right? So you like talking things out. I know for myself, when I do the similar thing, I tend to do more longer chunks, and I'm present to the incoming, and then I do my little tracking and trailing, my detective work. And then I keep a visual board because I tend to be more visual. So as an auditory, the way that you process what auditorily, do you end up talking to people about kind of your, what you discovered throughout the day or what you discovered in your presencing practice, or how does that work for you?
Or I'll just listen. I'll just listen to what they're saying and then I'll write things down. Like I'll tend to write things down or I'll ask questions. I heard it once said before, it's like prayer is speaking to God and meditation is listening. So I do my morning prayer, so to speak, and then I listen all day long and I record it.
Yeah. And for those of you out there, petition is one of the ways of praying. And so that's the written word. So there, as Stephanie mentioned, multiple ways of doing things. It's not just one way. Finding what works for you. Yeah. I tend to make boards and pictures and that type of thing. And I know Stephanie processes a lot auditorily because we end up talking. She and I, and I hear her process sometimes and she hears mine. And, you know, as both of us tend to be kinesthetic as well, I know there's more than once where I've just had to move or I've had to draw something and it means nothing. And I'm not trying to figure out a meaning to it. I just let it be. And that's, I think, the most important thing is letting the chunks kind of come together instead of trying to figure out one chunk. Oh, I saw an eagle. That means this. Well, okay, maybe. And maybe it means something else, right? Oh, my toe hurts. It means this.
And yeah, as a therapist, I get that a lot. Like, they say, well, what's the right side mean, Stephanie? And I'm like, well, it could mean lots of things, you know? And I'm like, I often would want to put it back on somebody else. That's why I say I practice more listening than or asking questions and then listening. So I'll say, well, what does right side mean to you? Or what is, you know, being right mean to you? Or doing the right thing? I get, you know, like, where do you use right? If and it has to connect to you, to your heart.
Yes.
And that's the key. And I think what we're both speaking of is like how important it is to A, discover yourself, discover your true self, and not be attached to letting things go of like your ideals of what you think you are and what you think you're not. And to really go into that self-discovery and also to try some things out. And if they don't work, that's okay. There's no shame. There's so many, I've heard there's as many practices on the planet as there are people. So there is no right or wrong way, just finding your way.
Right. And having a guide or two to help you with that. I know I have a lot of people helping me with that. And hopefully, you know, the Soulful Leader podcast is maybe one of your guides. And don't be afraid of asking for help. We've talked about that before on prior podcasts. I find that this goes back to a conversation that we started last week and have kind of continued this week of changing and rewiring our brains is because we've been taught that we need to do it on our own. And that we should know ourselves and all of the conditioning that our society has put on us. And it's time to let that go and shift the paradigm within and allow for, we're not supposed to do it alone. We are meant to do it together. We are meant to ask for help. We are meant to be a community and a collaboration, and that we actually can't do it by ourselves.
You know, the difference between wellness and illness, right? Wellness begins with we. Illness begins with I.
Interesting.
It's the same word.
Yeah. Just
the difference is an I and a we. So it is. It is about wellness. It is about collaboration. It is about connection. And we have a whole team inside of us too. It's like the I is so singular, right? And so disconnected, really.
Mm. And when I think about it, looping this back to the beginning where we started of presencing the incoming future versus putting the past continually in front of us, we are becoming the where we are going as a society, as a culture. It is towards a we, towards a collaborative. And there's a lot of people fighting against that. And there's a lot of, you know, tension that's happening. And we've talked about before how tension is essentially what allows us to create diamonds, right? The pressure that things get under. So instead of being afraid of the tension and the challenges that are before us right now, breathing into the fact that it's a beautiful opening and it's an invitation for the collaborative culture that is right on our horizon, that is incoming, that is the future wave.
I love it. So step outside of your comfort zone,
woohoo!
Feel the fear and tell yourself that it's a good thing because you're no longer in the place that you used to be. You're in a place that you haven't discovered before and only good will come. You're not alone.
That's very lovely. Well, thank you very much for joining us this week. And we'll look forward to seeing you on next week's podcast and on our Facebook group. See you next week.
And that wraps up another episode of the Soulful Leader Podcast with your hosts, Stephanie Allen
and Marin Oslak. Thank you for listening.
If you'd like to dive deeper, head over to our website at thesoulfulleaderpodcast.com.
Until next time.